The way we run the organization with the leadership principles, we actually live by them. We had gone to meet the team. The Great India Festival was about to start near Diwali. Look at what's happening on the floor. Get excited by it because sitting in office is not as exciting as being in the fulfillment center.
Leading a large, diverse workforce is both exciting and, challenging, right?
We truly believe if you want to aspire to be the Earth's best employer, you need to build an organization that is empathetic, inclusive, helps people succeed as professionals and they can bring their true self to work and succeed. The ability to transform lives and livelihoods is one of the proudest things we do here at Amazon. We've actually helped 5.7 lakh women across the country.
Wow. And I think it's stories like these which are most fulfilling. Welcome to another episode of Amazon Unplugged. Our guest today is Abhinav Singh. Abhinav joined in 2012 as an ops manager in our Pathways program, getting hired from our campus recruitment program from ISB. Over the last 12 years, he has led teams across operations, product, software, and sales. He's passionate about building for customers and developing his team. Thank you, Abhinav, for joining us today.
Very welcome. It's a pleasure being here.
So we'll start with getting to know a little about you and maybe go back a little in your career. So the first question that I have for you is, can you tell us about your first week at Amazon? How was it?
I remember it really well. I'll track back a little. Before I joined Amazon, I used to sail on ships. I was a captain in the Merchant Navy. Decided to come back to India and do my MBA from the Indian School of Business. In that school, they used to teach a lot with case studies, and one of the case studies we did was on Amazon, and it had a lot about the leadership principles at Amazon, and that really attracted me to learn more. Amazon came to campus on day zero, and I got selected for the Pathways program, which is an operations leadership program. Operations was a good fit given my background, and it was somewhat of like a dream come true to be an MBA, to be able to join Amazon in a program that I was excited about. I joined, and that's when I got to know what Amazon really is, because I joined to be a part of the India launch team, but the launch got pushed out by a year. And they said, we don't have a role for you, but we have this new thing called product management. Do you want to give that a shot? I said, fine. I had no idea what product management was. Before joining Amazon, my exposure to technology was email 4 times a year. That's when they would tell me when to join a ship and how. But here I was, part of product management, drinking through a fire hose, studying on weekends, learning from my peers, learning from my manager. And for the first 3 years at Amazon, I actually built products and was part of a technology team. In 2015, I decided to move to the operations team, but even then, I was, for the most part, building product solutions for customers and associates across the country. So for the first 5 years at Amazon, it was product, and the first 1 week was overwhelming. It was scary, but my story, not very dissimilar to a lot of people at Amazon, is truly what Amazon's all about, that if you're passionate about solving something for the customers and you have the right intent and you have the ability to demonstrate first principles thinking, the organization helps you build the skill and the organization gives you the resources to go do something.
It, you know, takes me back to when I joined my first week. I still remember, I think it was day three, and I was in a meeting. The meeting started with something called as doc reading time. So for the next 20 minutes, it was pin drop silence and everybody was reading the doc. And I thought that was very odd to me. You know, went on for 20 minutes and then people started asking questions. And what was peculiar was people would go all the way down even to the FAQs and to the appendix and asking questions. And I was like, wait a minute, I didn't even read the appendix. I think the learn and be curious is one leadership principle that you always have to use at Amazon. And that's what I have also learned, saying you need to be ready to learn a new skill, a new thing every day, because you will be thrown with challenges which you've never dealt with in your previous experience.
So true. that's one advantage I had, because I'd never worked with PPTs in my past life. So for me, I just assume that's how meetings run. But it is peculiar, and I think it drives a lot of clarity of thought. When you first join, it may seem laborious, but what you realize is it's a lot of effort to really structure your thoughts and present them in a coherent way. And through that process, your own assumptions and your decisions become sharper. So it's not just the presentation of the document, it's the lead up to it, which actually is the full process. Because the process of writing a good document takes time. There have been so many times in the writing process, I've actually changed my recommendation from what I thought I would say when I was writing the doc, because you get data, and data tells you that your initial assumptions may not have been right. So I think it's a very powerful tool. It actually increases the velocity of decisions, because everyone's on the same page, you have complete data, you have the ability to move fast, so, yeah. And the chances of them being right is a lot more.
You've been here for 12 years. What are some of the learnings as you look back, and what's kept you at Amazon, and any aha moments?
Lots of aha moments. I think what I started with, that Amazon is the kind of place where you get the opportunity to invent and invent at scale. So long as what you're doing is working backwards for the customer and inventing on their behalf. The kind of people you work with, they are the sharpest, most driven people I've met in my life. That intellectual stimulation, that learning that you have from your peer group, your own team, that's the second thing. The third thing is the way we run the organization with the leadership principles, and these are not values that we just put up on the wall and look at them once a year. We actually live by them. They are part of our appraisal system. They are part of our promotion documents. They are part of the way we think, our mental models. It just resonates with me.
I know you've been critical in, you know, helping us by being a bar raiser yourself. You know, a very important responsibility, if I may say, because that's like it protects the culture in the way we hire people and what kind of talent we bring in. And I think it's been amazing how, you know, you've been contributing to that.
The Bar Raiser program is, a unique, but I think a great concept. The genesis of the program, as you know, is about making sure that the hiring bar for Amazon stays high so that temporary constraints on the hiring team, whether it's the hiring manager under the pressure of a deadline or any other thing, does not introduce a bias where we lower the bar to get the job done now. We are very specific about it to say that, is the person we are hiring better than 50% of the team already or not? And the idea is to keep that bar high. So a bar raiser is typically not part of the team which is doing the hiring. So they have theoretically no skin in the game. And their only role is to make sure that the hiring bar, or the standard, if you will, is not lowered for short-term gain.
So Abhinav, what makes working in the field of operations really unique and challenging?
I think operations at Amazon is more unique than operations anywhere else. One, it's very technology driven. Once you click buy on the Amazon.in website or on the Amazon.in app, there is a real-time computation that happens to decide which fulfillment center or seller should the order go to, and basis that, the promise is surfaced to you on the website. So unlike other companies, you will not have a situation where we make a promise that we cannot fulfill. Once you click buy on the Amazon.in website or on the Amazon.in app, of course, contingencies happen, weather contingencies and others which are beyond our control, in which case we get delayed. But that's the reason we call it a promise, and we don't say estimated delivery date. Even internally, we call it the customer promise, because we treat it as such. It's a promise we've made to the customer to get there at some time. Once the order drops, and we call it an order drop, basically it gets assigned to the fulfillment center from where it'll get fulfilled. After that, based on the pickers who are already on the path of picking customer items, the shortest path to that item, whoever the picker is the closest to it, that's how it gets assigned dynamically.
Wow.
The picker picks it. They look at it on all six sides. They scan it to, you know, say that everything's okay. It goes for packing. At packing, based on the size of the item, there is a package recommendation that happens so that the least amount of air goes in the shipment. So customers would have noticed that over the years, we've been able to reduce our packaging. That's through machine learning algorithms like this, where you find the optimal packet size to be able to fit that item. After that, it goes to what we call SLAM, where the label gets put on the package. Again, there is a real-time computation that happens to determine, we made a promise, can we still keep it, or we need to upgrade the way we are sending it? The label gets put and the route gets decided. From there, it moves to sortation centers across the country and then to delivery stations. Look at the scale of this network, right? And sometimes, after having seen it from the first package and the first fulfillment center, which was in Bombay, to now fulfillment centers in 16 states, 43 million cubic feet of storage, sortation centers in 19 states, 2.5 million square feet of sortation space, 2,000 delivery stations, 28,000 IF space stores. Just the sheer scale is impressive. And all of this rides on a very strong base of technology. And of course, no matter how much tech you have, you need a team of exceptionally passionate, motivated, associates and leaders, and that's what's unique about our operations. If you look at from the perspective of who is behind the package, we started really focusing on making sure that we have built a truly diverse and inclusive organization. We have over 30% of our associate workforce, which is women, over almost 30% of our managerial workforce, which is women. We have 2,000 plus deaf and hearing impaired associates. We have autistic associates. We have people with physical disabilities. And all of these people work shoulder to shoulder to deliver that package. So that's what operations at Amazon is all about.
Yeah. And I mean, it's amazing. And I know that before joining Amazon, I wouldn't have imagined what it means, what's the journey of a package. When I joined as a recruiting leader, and I was told that for the first 1 week, I need to go and learn what happens in the operations on the field. And I was sent off to a fulfillment center, and I had to literally do everything that an associate does, from loading and unloading a truck, to being a picker, to packaging. And then on, you know, I went to a sort center and then even delivery station. I went on to do some customer deliveries. I think the whole concept was for people to understand the sheer volume and the kind of work that happens, and then what kind of policies that we are making and what's the impact on the associates as well. I can't, forget that. I was in a station which is called, Siren Station, where people with hearing and speech impaired were working in packaging. The speed at which they were operating, I was not even 1/5. So it was just really heartening to see the back-end machinery of how it works and how human and tech comes together to kind of deliver what we deliver for our customers.
We invested a lot in automation, like you said, but at the heart of it is the humans who work tirelessly day and night. And quite honestly, that what we call the Associate Experience Week, or the AEW, is designed to let people understand the people who truly create value. Don't get me wrong, but you and I are overheads. I'm hoping important overheads. But the people who really create value are the ones who are working in our fulfillment centers, sortation centers, delivery stations, and delivering packages every day. And we've had some great success stories from there. We've had people who joined us as delivery associates and today are managers. We've had people who started managing stations and are now heading up different operations functions. We lay a lot of emphasis of leaders walking the floor. I was in a fulfillment center just yesterday, and I make sure that, you know, X days a month I'm in the field and I deliver packages even now, every single month. You get to learn a lot. We call them Gembas. Gembas is a very specific term. It means the place where value is created. And to be able to go see the value being created, understand the barriers, and remove those barriers for the associates, probably using technology or process, but seeing that value creation and appreciating is important. So yes, I think that's a very powerful experience, which all leaders across functions have to go through.
So how are we using Amazon's scale and culture of innovation to create a more sustainable place?
I love that question. And we're not just using our ability to invent. We are using the power of our culture to even think big in that space. I'll give you an example. When Jeff came here in 2019, we made a very public commitment that we'll get to 10,000 electric vehicles by 2025. If you think back to 2019, the electric vehicle ecosystem in India was still nascent. There were some strong indications of it developing, but nobody knew the speed at which it will develop. We started working with OEMs, big and small, whether it was Tatas or Mahindras or startups like we have across India in many cities. And over the last four or five years, we are now well on our way to making sure that by 2025, we will have 10,000 electric vehicles in our fleet. That's just one example of building a sustainable future. We've also introduced what we call packaging-free shipments, where we try to ship the items in their own packaging if they can withstand the carriage. We also work on reducing the packaging by transporting them in more durable external containers so that they can withstand the carriage without the need of corrugated packaging on top. We've actually invented paper tapes. In 2020, we eliminated single-use plastic. And then last year, in 22 now, so 2 years back, we eliminated plastic completely. And for that, we had to do a lot of invention, not just on the plastic mailers that we used to use. We had to move to paper mailers. They had to be the right strength. So we had to test out different suppliers and build a supplier ecosystem in India. But also the tapes, because plastic does a lot of things really well. But to be able to get to for a paper tape to do the job equally well, it had to be a certain thickness. It had to have a certain tack. And again, we worked with local suppliers to develop that. We're doing a lot of work in water neutrality. So we have rainwater harvesting in all our facilities. We have water circulation. We have STPs, which are working on using that water for energy use. All our buildings, in fact, have solar panels, and a large percentage of their electric supply comes from the solar. We also buy solar from the grid. And we, along with AWS, have invested in renewable energy in the solar power plants in India. So across the whole spectrum of energy, building design, water, packaging, transportation, we are doing a lot to make sure that we are building a sustainable future. And all of this is in line with our 2019 climate pledge, which is very publicly stated that we as an organization globally want to get to net zero carbon by 2040, wow. 10 years ahead of the Paris Agreement. So if I would just put it all together, it starts with a bold vision. Take the climate pledge, for instance. Then goes on to eager adoption of existing technology. Then investing in the ecosystem, which is working with OEMs locally or suppliers locally to build that ecosystem, but also using things like the Climate Pledge Fund to be able to fund startups. So we have invested in battery management startups in India. We've invested in other companies which are working in India. We've brought the Right Now Climate Fund to India. We've invested in water.org. So a lot of investment going into building organizations in India, whether they're private or public-private partnerships. And then finally, as that ecosystem evolves and technologies develop, integrating them within your system and encouraging people to go along with you. So that's what it's all about.
It's very inspiring to know all of the work that's happening, and I think it's the entire ecosystem which really matters and adds up. So leading a large, diverse workforce is both exciting and challenging, right? How have you used your thoughtful approach from an inclusion perspective? And if you could share some insights on how have you helped in building a more diverse and inclusive workforce?
More than me personally, I'd like to talk to you about how we're thinking about it as a company and how we're thinking about it here in India. If you want to aspire to be the Earth's best employer, you need to build an organization that is empathetic, inclusive, helps people succeed as professionals and they can bring their true self to work and succeed. And there is work-life harmony. And so those are the four pillars that I believe we need to work on continuously. Empathy is all about making sure that you're able to truly understand what's happening in people's lives and look beyond just their professional tags or titles. So we're doing a very meaningful program across all our manager cohorts where we are talking to people about the importance of empathetic leadership. From an inclusion perspective, we spoke about building a diverse workforce, but how do you make sure that they are not only hired, but they are engaged, retained, and they actually grow? So they are very focused programs on making those things happen. When it comes to personal success, how do you enable people to really go after their aspirations, find them the right avenues to skill themselves, give them the right opportunities, give them complex problems to solve, and finally, work-life harmony? I think this is one of those things which Jeff defined the best in the world, where he spoke about it's not about balance, where there is a theoretical count of hours that you spend at work or at home, but it's about having the ability to make that choice in the moment what you would like to prioritize. At that point in time, for that day, your house or home needs more attention, you're empowered enough to do that, or for that weekend or for that evening, there's something at work or a customer problem that needs solved, you can go ahead and do that. So I think those are the four things that we are solidly focused on building an organization that we'd be proud of tomorrow and look back and say that we truly strive to be the Earth's best employer.
We have an IHS partner today who's been working with Amazon India operations, and he would like to share about how has been the impact of Amazon on him as an individual.
ನಾನು ಸಮಯ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಟ್ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ನರ್ಗೆ ಅಮೆಝಾನಲ್ಲಿ ಜೊತೆ ವರ್ಕ್ ಮಾಡ್ತಾ ಇದ್ದೀನಿ. ನಂದು ನೆಟ್ ಜಂಕ್ಷನ್ ಅಂತ ಸದಾಶಿವನಲ್ಲಿ ಸ್ಟೋರ್ ಇದೆ. ಮುಂಚೆ ಏನು ನನ್ನ ಕೈಲಿ ಏನು ಕೊಡ್ಸೋಕ್ಕಾಗ್ದಿದ್ದಿಲ್ಲೋ ಇವಾಗ ಅವ್ರು ಏನು ಕೇಳಿದ್ರು ನಾನು ಕೊಡಿಸ್ತೀನಿ. ನನ್ನ ಮಗ ಆಗಿರಲಿ, ನಮ್ಮ ವೈಫ್ ಆಗಿರಲಿ, ಆಮೇಲೆ ನಮ್ಮ ಅಮ್ಮ ಆಗಿರಲಿ, ಎಲ್ಲ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಮೆಝಾನಿಂದನೇ. ಮುಂಚೆ ನಾನು ಅಷ್ಟೊಂದೇನು ಅರ್ನ್ ಮಾಡ್ತಾ ಇದ್ದಿಲ್ಲ, ಬಟ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಟ್ IHS-ಇಂದ ನಾನು ಅರ್ನ್ ಮಾಡ್ತಾ ಇರೋದಕ್ಕೆ ನನಗೆ ತುಂಬ ಹೆಲ್ಪ್ ಆಗಿದೆ. ಬಟ್ ಇನ್ನೊಂದು ವಿಷಯ ಏನಂದರೆ, ಇವಾಗ ಇನ್ಸೂರೆನ್ಸು ಮಾಡಿದ್ದಾರೆ, ತುಂಬ ಹೆಲ್ಪ್ ಆಗಿದೆ. ನನಗೆ ಯಾರು ಅಂತ ಅಮೆಝಾನ್ ಅಮೆಝಾನ್ ಕುಮಾರ್ ಅಂತಲೇ ಹೆಸರಿಗೆ ಬಿಟ್ಟಿದ್ದಾರೆ ಅವ್ರು ನಮಗೆ.
ವಾವ್, ಐ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಸ್ಟೋರೀಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದೀಸ್ ವಿಚ್ ಆರ್ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಫುಲ್ಫಿಲ್ಲಿಂಗ್.
ಯು ನೋ, ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ವೀವ್ ಡನ್ ಇನ್ ಇಂಡಿಯಾ, ಐ ಥಿಂಕ್ ದ ಅಬಿಲಿಟಿ ಟು ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಲೈವ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಲೈವ್ಲಿಹುಡ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಟ್ರೂಲಿ ಮೇಕ್ ಅ ಡಿಫ್ರೆನ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಲೈವ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಹೂ ವರ್ಕ್ ವಿತ್ ಅಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ದೇರ್ ಲೈವ್ಸ್, ದ ಲೈವ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದೇರ್ ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲೀಸ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಫುಲ್ಫಿಲ್ಲಿಂಗ್ ರಿವಾರ್ಡ್ of being associated with Amazon over the last 10 years, 12 years.
Yeah, yeah. And I also know that, you know, IHS as a program was in India first.
Yes.
And something that's now scaling up globally.
Absolutely. I think the program was designed in a way to say that how do we help the small Kirana stores which are across the country and at the same time build a delivery model which would help us scale in India. And we worked with Kirana stores, understood from them what lean times are for them and how is it that you know, we could help them augment their income, and then understood from them what kind of technology support would help, did a lot of user study, and then built technology to be able to give them packages seamlessly for them to then deliver it. The customer communication happens seamlessly, and it's all integrated through our in-house tech.
So Abhinav, for our next segment, we have a mini game for you, and it's called Does It Ring a Bell? So we're going to show you a couple of pictures, and we'd want to know if that rings a bell, and what do you recall of that?
You're trying to test if I'm still sharp enough.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's start with the first picture.
This is actually from last year, not very far back. This is one of the things I was talking to you about, Gemba. So this is Manish, who heads, who's the country leader for India. Him and I in one of our fulfillment centers in Bangalore. Right. And we had gone in to meet the team just around the time that the Great India Festival was about to start near Diwali. Look at what's happening on the floor. Get excited by it, because sitting in office is not as exciting as being in the fulfillment center. So yeah, Absolutely. This is one day.
Wonderful. Let's look at the next one.
Yeah, this is one of those really proud moments for the team. When we launched our two aircraft in January of last year. So, you know, we have two 737-800 aircraft which are flying across the country every single day to make sure that our prime customers and customers who would like fast deliveries get them reliably. These are two aircrafts which are dedicated for Amazon customers.
Wow. And the next one.
This picture is from last year. So we've worked with the government over the last 10 years extensively, whether it is the Indian Postal Service or the Indian Railways, and now the waterways, where we invent ways with them to be able to serve customers all across the country reliably and fast. For example, with Indian Railways, we were the first company to partner with them in 2019. And today we reach a lot of destinations with one day speed powered by railways.
Wow.
And we've done a pilot run with the Waterways Authority.
And then the last one.
This is one of my favorite photographs. This is from 2018, actually. This is a community center that we helped build close to one of our sortation centers in Hyderabad.
Mm-hmm.
And like I was saying earlier, the ability to transform lives and livelihoods is one of the proudest things we do here at Amazon. Since this picture was taken, we've actually helped 5.7 lakh women across the country over the last 6 years by initiatives like this, where they are upskilled, but also in fields of health, women hygiene, education, and other areas.
Wow, wonderful. Really inspiring. Thank you. All right, we've reached the last segment now, and this one is the rapid fire round. And to help me with the rapid fire today, I have a friend, and that's Alexa. Alexa, can we have the first question?
Sure. What's the most unusual task or job that has either been assigned to you or you have volunteered by yourself?
The most unusual, which taught me the most, was leading the vaccination task force for India. We helped vaccinate 300,000 Amazon associates, employees, and their families. So, most unusual, but also the most meaningful thing I've ever done at Amazon.
Share one leadership principle that you live by that has inspired you in your professional life.
It has to be think big. It's also one of the most misunderstood principles here at Amazon. It's not just about thinking up big ideas. It's being able to execute a bold vision, working backwards from the customers and inventing for and on their behalf. It encourages you to look for solutions that help you change the trajectory and break the paradigm. So yeah, it has to be think big.
What are the top three functional or leadership skills you have acquired over the years?
As a leader, being challenged by an exceptionally talented team, being humbled on most occasions, learning from them and with them. That's been a great experience. And being able to learn how to lead with empathy is another one. So I think those would be my top three.
So Abhinav, before we let you go, we have a small gift from you all the way from the heartlands of Moradabad. This is from an Amazon seller who's part of the Amazon Karigar seller platform, which is called Deco Beats.
Here
is
so much.
A small hamper, and there is a personal message from the seller. Thank you for all the honest answers, and it was really nice learning a lot more about your journey at Amazon and also how it has shaped you and how Amazon continues to shape all of the communities around. So really good talking to you, Abhinav. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Did you know that you can now listen to Amazon Unplugged podcasts on Amazon Music, Apple, and Spotify?